Charlie, we haven't completed all of the testing to this point in time in Moreton Bay, and we've also got some further testing up and down the coast between Cairns and the border that'll be happening, and the results of those will be coming back in June. It's too early for us to make a call on that at this stage, and there will be consultation with industry and also at a national level with the Commonwealth and the other jurisdictions before any decisions are made in relation to the strategy around eradication.
Nonetheless, you have five more positive tests now located in a similar area to where white spot was previously detected in the wild. How does it compare, or what do you know now that that you didn't know before these tests popped up?
I guess what we know is that we have an incomplete picture in relation to the sampling that we've done. We do know that the Logan River is all of the testing that we've done. We've got the results back on that just over the last 24 hours, and that's all clear, as are the test results from the Brisbane River. The positives that we've got are only in those areas that we had positives in 2017. So we've got an incomplete picture, I suppose, in relation to what the overall results are and what the implications of those results are.
Does that suggest it's not spreading?
Until we get the results back from the testing that we're doing outside Moreton Bay, we won't know the answer to that either, and that those results will be back in June.
Okay. While ever white spot does continue to exist in the wild, what threat does it pose to areas outside of the current movement control area in the southeast corner?
Yeah, we know that it's a particularly virulent disease, and we know that it's destructive in the context of prawn farms. So what that means in terms of the strategy going forward, it obviously poses a risk. The extent of that risk, you know, will be something that the industry will be making some decisions on once we've got all of the results in.
But Malcolm Letts, it's not only the prawn farms that are feeling the brunt of the biosecurity response to this outbreak, is it? I mean, what's your understanding of the impact on the commercial sector that's operating within the boundaries of the movement control area?
Yeah, it's obviously having an impact on a range of different sectors that harvest out of Moreton Bay, out of the control zone. The bait prawn sector obviously is being significantly impacted. They ship prawns all over Australia. The other fishers that are in the bay also need to treat or cook prawns before they are exported outside the zone. So that there are extra costs associated with all of those things on the industry, and that's obviously something that we are very cognizant of, and we are looking obviously to make decisions. This is unfortunate that we got this result, because as you said in your introduction, that does extend the period of control for another 2 years from the time of that detection.
So from your comments, though, there is some raw product that's been allowed out of the control order area into other states. Is this latest discovery of more positive tests likely to compromise any of those trading arrangements?
No, there isn't any. No, sorry, just to confirm, there's no raw product going out. The all of the product that's going out has to be treated. It's just that there are some different sorts of treatments. Most of the product for human consumption is generally cooked. Always cooked, and the bait product is treated in a different way to eradicate the virus.
And that's at their own cost, obviously?
That's right.
That has been one of the issues, though, Malcolm Letts, that no commercial fisher or live bait supplier has been compensated to date for the loss of their trade incurred through no fault of their own. Is that fair?
There's a policy position, Charlie, in relation to the response that is something that's agreed to at a national level between all jurisdictions. It's probably not appropriate for me to comment on the fairness of that at this stage. Obviously, these agreements are negotiated over a period of time in relation to how the assistance is allocated to the various sectors. The impact on the prawn farmers on the Logan River was obviously drastic in relation to their operations, and it's, as you said in your introduction, meant that they've had to stop operating. They're in a fallow at the moment until the end of May. That there's been a huge impact on them.
You're hearing from Queensland's Acting Chief Biosecurity Officer Malcolm Letts on the Country Hour today. I was going to turn now to the ramifications for those prawn farmers on the Logan River. Malcolm Letts, how does this development, as incomplete as you say it is, affect your confidence about the future of what was a once thriving aquaculture hub?
At the end of the day, the decision in relation to what the prawn farmers do will be their decision. It'll be a commercial decision. Obviously, it's good news that the samples and the results that we've got from the Logan River are all clear. This will be a decision that they'll have to make based on what infrastructure they'll need to put in place to put to minimise the biosecurity risks on their operations. So it's early days in relation to the complete picture that we get out of the Moreton Bay area, but these are decisions that they'll have to make themselves based on the evidence that they'll have before them.
And part of the risk that those operators face is that they could restock their ponds, and if white spot strikes again, they'll be required to pay the full cost of destocking and decontamination, whereas last time these costs were met by the government. Why is that change in approach or treatment necessary?
Well, Charlie, I think until we get the results in, we won't know what the final strategy is in relation to both government response and industry responsibilities going forward. I think it's too early to say that it'll all be either an industry responsibility or a government responsibility. Until we get all the results in and we've had the conversation with industry and at a national level, it's probably not wise for me to comment on that at this point.
Okay. Well, if I could just cast your mind back to July last year, that's when the federal government ended its six-month ban on uncooked prawns entering this country. They've put in place tough new testing that involves testing imported product both at the source country and at our own borders here in Australia. What threat do imported prawns pose to our biosecurity response to white spot?
That's probably a question that you should be directing towards the Commonwealth, and it's a very difficult question to answer. Obviously, there is any disease product coming into Australia is a problem, and that's why we strongly ask anyone that's buying prawns, green prawns, from supermarkets or any other source that are imported not to use them as bait and to be very careful in relation to the disposal of those prawn products into the wild, not to do that because obviously there is the potential for that to happen. We're not saying that that's what happened in this instance, but there is the potential if there is any disease in those products to be spread. So we continue to encourage people to observe that sort of approach in relation to the use of any green prawns that are imported for bait.
We know that the Federal Senate inquiry failed to definitively answer the question of how the virus entered the Logan River. What do your instincts tell you, Malcolm Letts, knowing what you do about this highly contagious disease?
Instincts are probably not wise to expose at this point in time, Charlie. It's a really tough one. We are doing some genetic sequencing on the virus to try and get a more complete picture in relation to the origins. We haven't finished that work. It's still very early days, but we are bringing the best science that we can to bear in this space so that we get a better understanding. And once we have got that clearer picture, then obviously we will be sharing that with industry and with our colleagues in the Commonwealth as well.
Fair enough. Malcolm Letts, Acting Chief Biosecurity Officer for Queensland, thanks for sharing your insights, if not your instincts, with the Queensland country. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Charlie.